You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in studio with me Commissioner for District 1 of Dakota County, Mike Slavik. Mike, it's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's a good day to be around. COVID is loosening its grip on the area. In a previous segment, we talked about libraries and government offices and people coming back to work and opening up. In this segment, I'd like to start off a little bit with the recent gift that the Dakota County Sheriff's Office, and I bring this up because as people get back to normal, they're going to be outside more. It's beginning of summertime, Memorial Day, and they're going to be out on the parkways, the greenways, the trails, and in the parks. And the Dakota County Sheriff's Office recently received a donation from Dakota Electric Association to help them with patrolling these parks, greenways, and trails. Tell me a little bit about what's going on there.
So, yes, just last week, Dakota Electric went and gifted a couple electric assist bikes, to the Sheriff's Office for maintaining our county greenway system and just in our park system. So our sheriff's department goes in, they are the park patrol for our system, about 6,000 acres, 1,000 of that is water. And they're the go-to that go and make sure that our parks are safe and stay safe. And with that, we have had this vision as a county to do about a 200-mile greenway system.
Right.
And we've got about 40 miles that are completed that are county owned and run, including right now all of the Mississippi River Trail, so from the depot all the way to Spring Lake Park, Shars Bluff, and then that little gap that we're working on, and then you'll go all the way to Harity Island, St. Paul. So that's all now patrolled by the Sheriff's Park Patrol, and within the city limits, obviously the city helps out with that as well. But particularly in our parks, there's 4.5 miles just in Spring Lake Park that's all paved trail, and the sheriffs were very excited on two sides. One, if you've actually been out on that section out at Shars Bluff, it's got some pretty steep hills, so having that electric assist is kind of nice with those parts there. But it was a great donation from a great organization, and just kind of goes and shows we saw use on our parks and trails of about 3 times the norm last year with COVID, and I don't think that's changing this year. I think that we realized that, one, we got to stay healthy, we got to enjoy the weather when we get it good, and even when it's not so great, we should be embracing Minnesota weather.
Oh yeah.
And
wait 5 minutes, it'll change.
It will change. That's right. So this was just a very generous and appreciated donation to the system that we have, and really they're working harder, and just appreciate all the good respect that they're getting. And
sure. Generally, the deputies, they are on regular bicycles or even walking at this point. Well, are there walking patrols, or how does that work?
Well, we also have some gators, four wheelers,
oh,
things
sure.
of that sort. So, so they're the one motorized vehicle that can go on a trail with that. So, they do have regular bikes that they've been there. So that's I think we have just. I mean, it's amazing how many people have the electric assistance, and it's not that. Last year, I think, was the year it really kind of gained its popularity all around. And, you know, we have that with the local business in Hastings, and it really makes it, they're nice, and especially in those tough times, and you can go a lot faster. I think that's the challenge with a regular bike, is you're not able to make it as fast as you can. So that's why you've seen a lot more of the four-wheelers in the park system.
Yep, and I was reading through the press release that Dakota Electric sent out earlier, and they were saying in there that the average patrol officer, when he's patrolling or she is patrolling the trails and greenways, they're actually still carrying about 30 pounds worth of gear.
Yes.
And if you've got that on a bike and you're trying to, shall we say, collar a perpetrator or something like that, or there's somewhere you need to get, pedaling a bike with 30 pounds is not as easy as you think.
Mm-hmm.
So the electric assist will really, like you're saying, will really help them in response to situations.
That's absolutely right. And so it's a real, we're really fortunate to have them, and I think that we'll probably see in some county budgets the sheriff's office probably have some more in the future.
That would be a good thing.
So
that also kind of brings us to maybe a an update from the county perspective on road projects in the area. The 316 project began on the 24th. Mm-hmm. We've got that particular stretch of road closed, and people are kind of grousing a little bit about the workarounds that have been in place for a while that they were going to do that. What is the county seeing with what's going on there?
What do they always say in Minnesota? You have two seasons, road construction and winter.
Yeah. And sometimes they coincide.
They do. I think last year we had a conversation about we had that weird April snow or weird mm-hmm. October snowstorm, and
yep.
and they were paving, and then the afternoon there was 8 inches of snow on the ground down in one of the projects in the southern part of the county. We have a pretty aggressive transportation plan for this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be far more aggressive, but just with a few other factors, a number of projects were delayed till next year. And one of the things that they're doing is a good example of that is what they did with this most recent project that's going to be under construction this year. And that's Nikolai Avenue, County Road 91 in kind of the Meeseville area.
Right.
And one of the things that they did is we did some small contracts to do some of the utility work and some mm-hmm. of those things last fall. And we're going to see two projects in my district that they're going to actually award parts of the contract this fall so they can get a lot of the work done. But they won't be ripping. The people won't notice anything because basically they're going to clear the trees, move the utility lines.
Sure.
That stuff they'll do this fall on both County Road 88 in Randolph, near Lake Bilsby, and mm-hmm. then Castle Rock on 86. But in 91, that's a big project for the year, and that's kind of the phase one of four that they're going to ultimately rebuild all of County Road 91.
Wow, okay.
And that's going to go from 10th Street in Hastings all sure. the way down to Meeseville Ravine Park, 270th Street. So,
wow.
so that's the long-term plan.
Right.
It's going to be done over the next 5 to 8 years, I would imagine.
Sure.
But with that, that's the first part of the project is going to be a very big constructing, starting on Highway 61, in essence, and going and kind of working its way north up, through the townships. And
mm-hmm.
But as those who know Nikolai, especially, you know, that's your way down to the city of Meeseville to go to Kings or Wiederholt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, there's no shoulder on that. And it's just really steep ditches and no shoulder. And farm equipment is getting a lot bigger. So they will be back to our standard with the 8-foot shoulders on each side and a much better and safer road. For that, but one of the big things in that is 1,600 acres of farmland all drain into the one culvert underneath Highway 61 heading south. And
flooding problems much?
There's been a lot of flooding problems, and I think it's, you know, 20, 30 years ago, there was a lot of pasture. We had a lot more livestock, and that has kind of been replaced by beans and corn.
Yeah,
and
cropland. Yeah,
crop. When cropland happens, the water flows a lot faster.
Sure.
So they're actually doing about a $2 million infrastructure culvert system underneath, getting rid of the ditches and culvert system kind of to control where the water goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very extensive process that they've had to do down there. But that will be that's under construction right now and will be all till fall. That's going to be the biggest local project you'll see, probably.
Is there any plans for stormwater retaining ponds in that project, then? If you're replacing that culvert and redirecting water flow, is there somewhere that you're going to direct it to, or are you just going to try to get it back into, like, the Vermilion River or the Cannon River?
It will go to the Cannon down that way. But so that what they ultimately, if they would have done to control that water as it was needed, you would have needed to put in a 100-acre lake.
Wow.
That was how much water was going there.
That's a big pond.
So they would have had to buy a farm and start digging a lake.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit, there were a couple houses that had to be purchased, and there's a combination of the water's going to have a swale mm-hmm. to kind of try to soak in a little bit.
Sure.
But I think you'll see more retention further down. Because right now it's just gushing through, so there is a little bit of a slowing that will happen with that, but there won't be retention ponds as, like we normally would see there.
Okay.
But they did purchase a couple homes to kind of have it kind of meander and
give it some place to go while
and slow it down a bit.
And slow it down.
So that's one of the big local projects we have, but we also have in the Hampton area we have reconstruction of a County Road 78, which is just off of 47,
sure.
South of Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pretty big project. Our second year of County Road 70 in Lakeville by the industrial park, they're expanding that to a four-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
That was a two-year project. And then we have another project that's got a lot of notoriety, and that's been the Diffley.
Out in front of the elementary school, in front of the schools. Yeah,
That's going to have some roundabouts and some slowing and some narrowing.
That's already kind of begun too, hasn't it?
That has begun. Yeah, that's under full construction now. And that one, but that's a project where we did receive some state funding for, and wasn't scheduled to be moved as fast as it is, but it got accelerated. And
was that because of that tragic accident?
The tragic accident drove a lot of
the impetus behind it.
Yes. So that I think that's what drove a lot of the state money that was able to get it. So we were using the state money really to cover the extra improvements on the school side of things. So
okay,
with that. So that's kind of been the. It's still going to be a $70 million road construction season for the county.
The thing that I had seen going back into road construction in this 316 especially is that there has been some, I don't want to say kickback, but there has been some negative commentary about people trying to get around that closed section of 316. Mm-hmm. I saw a post on social media where the Three Rivers Trailer Park was particularly being used as a bypass,
mm-hmm.
and residents weren't really on board with that because it's, first of all, a private road, but there aren't any shoulders or, you know, it's just not really built for that.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where even a statement came out from the project team from MnDOT saying, please don't use roads that say private. You know, we're doing what we can. You're just going to have to bear with it. Have you heard anything about that at the county level?
Well, I have, because I've experienced it very much in past years. I mean, we have mm-hmm. I've had packed town halls over issues, because what has happened is the quite often when there's a project, particularly a state project, this was a MnDOT project down on Highway 3,
mm-hmm.
and they had a designated detour plan. And it was using some county roads and some state roads and that,
mm-hmm.
and which is the case with the 316 project. It's using State Highway 316, then going down County Road 91,
mm-hmm.
and then coming into town.
Right.
Which actually all the way to Vermilion Street. So it makes it's all state and county roads.
Sure.
And by the way, there's an agreement that the state works with the county to make that happen, and that's where the signage goes. And
yep.
But quite frankly, people will find the shortest way to get from point A to point B, no matter whatever detour you've ridden.
Right.
And we had that issue down in a couple of the townships in the south western part, where everyone locally knew which way to go, and they were just beating up the road and causing a lot of issues.
Yep.
And to the point where actually that one of the townships had gone in and paid an extra deputy to basically put roll closed signs there and paid a deputy to give people tickets.
All right.
Because that was where they were at, is that they used it wasn't part of the regular sheriff patrol, but they went and had some overtime, mm-hmm. and they paid a deputy to get there. And of course, when you know, they made money off the tickets, so they went and so they paid for their deputy. But
sure,
people going
sure.
around and doing that. But that was what had to happen on that, because they were just destroying township roads. But
sure.
it was local traffic only, and these mm-hmm. were people who were saying, "Hey, I want to get from here to here," and they were just going through, and they're like, "Well, you're from Rochester. Why are you on this? You don't have any reason to go to this road."
Sure,
and
sure.
So it goes that way, and it's always is a tough issue. And
it is
how we've handled it at a county level is, in essence, we've kind of said, this is the detour. We understand that people are going to not follow that detour. We're not going to go and enforce them and say it, because these are township public roads. It's a little different with the situation you're talking about, because they're private roads. But
right.
but what we've gone in and said is we've now put into our budget we're mostly gravel roads what we're dealing with in these areas, but we've now paid to do extra chloride and extra regraveling. So we've put in on a project typically about $40,000 to $50,000 that we're just going to go and fix township roads.
Huh.
And that's how we as a county have been able to work out the compromise that we put that into the overall cost mm-hmm. of a rural road project, is that we're going to have to do some stuff to at least make your roads in the condition they were in before the detour.
Exactly. The other thing, too, that the project team from MnDOT is highly stressing is the road is closed, don't drive the road. I guess they've had issues with some people going around the blockade and trying to get down 316 anyway.
Yep.
and it's very dangerous. They're tearing it up. There's no reason for a private vehicle to be in there.
You know, and I just living in Hastings and knowing that there's some local projects in there, I actually on Friday night saw somebody cross the road closed and went about a couple blocks on 15th Street, and there was a squad car there. And I don't know if they got a ticket or not, but I know that the fact that they probably at least got asked, where are you going? Because if you're not on 15th Street, you probably
don't belong there.
Yep. And it's closed for a reason. You know, all that work, that the millions of dollars to rebuild the road, and somebody going over it and tracking it can go in and just destroy all the work that was just done.
Mm-hmm.
So you can cost tens of thousands of dollars by going over a road and not following the road closed.
Some of my favorite clips on social media are the ones where the people don't realize that the concrete they're about to drive over isn't set yet.
It is not set yet, right. So, yeah.
And then you end up running board deep in wet cement, and
yeah,
there's people that are probably angry at you.
Well, I think we, as a trying to be a good steward of the taxpayer, we actually spent a lot of money trying to accommodate those people who live on that road. So a lot of times there are things where signs are moved, or we saw some of the best numbers for road construction in Minnesota last year during COVID, because nobody was like, let's just close down I-94 because
no one's driving,
and you could get the work done faster if you didn't have to try to accommodate people.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that's not how we can run and do it. So we have to, it costs us more, but that's the way it goes.
And that's one of maybe the lesser aspects of getting to what we call back to normal, is that we're going to have people out, and you're going to have to make those adjustments for those construction zones.
Mm-hmm.
It bears repeating all the time that, yes, the contractors and the government officials that are in charge of it are doing their best to accommodate the public.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be some discomforts, if you will, mm-hmm. that they're going to have to endure in order to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
We've got about a couple of minutes left on our segment here, Commissioner Slavik. Mm-hmm. So at this point, what I would like to do is give you, as always, the opportunity to provide contact information should any of your constituents have questions or concerns.
Well, thank you. You know, leave a voicemail for me or call. So my office number is 651-438-4427. Otherwise, you can always reach me at my home, which is 651-437-4637.
That information is on the website at dakotacounty.us. I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In-Depth, Dakota County Commissioner Mike Slavik. Thank you for coming in, sir.
Absolutely.
You are listening to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7.